You are about to journey against the current of contemporary thought and beyond the troubled waters of daily news to the very source of our extraordinary culture. You are going upstream with Cashel and Edge.
We are here, by the way.
Hey,
the man,
Jack.
We just heard the voice behind the curtain, the man called Brad.
Brad.
We are at Real Media Studios in Overland Park, which is kind enough to host us here.
We love it here.
And we would recommend anyone else who's in our listening audience to give them a call, Brad Barrow, Real Media. And you'll get, of course, I've said this before.
I don't think they'll be as good as us.
No, it's a caveat that they have to live with. They have to live with being the second best podcast in America or the world. If you're willing to live with that limitation, totally recommend you give us a call, because this is where it all happens. Now, you were telling me about a new phenomenon, or not a new phenomenon, but one that you've, you have a way of coining new phrases.
Well, this is an old one. I mean, it's, I don't know how long it's been around, actually, but they use it a lot when they're, you know, if you've ever been, gone down the rabbit holes of these things like psychopathy, sociopaths, narcissistic personality disorder, the dark triad, all these other things about, you know, we at our age, we run across quite a few of these crazy people, but
sometimes literally, you know.
Yeah, and they have no empathy, and they, you know, particularly in the case of like a malignant narcissist.
Yeah.
And what you see in politics globally and at every other level is really just an extension of these personality traits, as most of the people who rise to the top of the political spectrum, those people, there are a high percentage of sociopaths and psychopaths and narcissistic personality disorder.
Right, right.
And so you see these same tricks that the psychologists talk about on a personal, interpersonal level, you see these writ large politically.
Right.
And one of them that has always fascinated me is one called Darvo.
Is that a real phenomenon?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
D-A-R-V-O.
Right.
This is, and you know, it's as
Sounds like Davos, you know.
It's yes. And it's, and Davos is,
Darvo,
they use a lot of Darvo.
Darvo Hothouse.
Darvo stands for deny, accuse, and reverse victim and oppressor. So this is kind of, you know, the way you, when you accuse a psychopath or somebody who's just any kind of crazy bad actor, the first thing they do is deny it.
Right.
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 And projection is their go-to weapon, where they try to lay it on you.
Right.
Well, this is kind of a little more drawn out way of describing what projection is like. When you're, you know, you call somebody out, you might say, oh, I've noticed that suddenly, and you could look at a date, for example, and say a date certain and go, suddenly on this date, we went from not having illegal immigration to being flooded with illegal immigration.
Right.
And the person that, and you say, well, obviously this all adds up and you're responsible, and they might have a spokesman come out, or they might come out and say, my opponent is responsible for that.
Right.
Not me. I had nothing to do. It was happening under my opponent, the predecessor. And you're looking at that going, that's insane.
That's right.
But all the people who are the flying monkeys for this criminal, or whatever you want to refer to this person as, the aggressor, oppressor, they're going to get behind that and go, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what he said. Okay, well, Darvo is how the media, flax, will defend. It's how the Praetorian Guard does their job of defending who's in charge. Deny, accuse, and reverse the victim and oppressor.
Right.
Now, I didn't do it. You did it.
Right.
And furthermore, you did it to these people, and look at the mess you've made.
Right. Now
I'm going to fix it up.
Now, historically, you could be, I think, a semi-honest politician and do a little bit of that.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Let's say you're arguing about the deficit, right? So who's responsible? Well, you were responsible, and you know, blah blah blah. Because there may be a point that yeah. other person was somehow nearly as responsible as you were. So it's a fine line.
Mm-hmm.
However, when you do something, it seems to me is becoming more now than ever before. When you are clearly the culprit,
mm-hmm.
and yet you are willing to stand there and blame someone else for your misdeeds, you know,
and when you've got the media doing it for you,
right?
It's even another higher level of absurdity, and it's Darvo gone nuts.
I mean, it becomes like a mass formation psychosis, you know, where
it is,
it's like you probably happened in Salem in 1693, you know, where the psychosis, you know, germinated maybe perhaps in one person and then became a mass psychosis,
mm-hmm.
where everyone thought that there were witches running underfoot, you know, and then you begin to dunk them and hang them or burn them, whatever they did to them. Probably didn't do anything. Probably just gave them tickets or something, but we manufactured a great crisis out of it.
And you look at things recently, and I'm not interested in saying I have any expert insight on this or that I have any strong feelings one way or the other. To me, it's all a big puzzle because of Darvo, which is that attack on Israel and vice versa.
Right. Oh, boy, perfect example.
Because all it is, and you got to understand, Darvo is all you're getting.
Yeah.
From any kind of media source. And if there's somebody out there telling the truth, you have no idea who they are or where to find them in the crowd. Because the Darvo wave is huge. And you just got to go, I cannot comment. I cannot form an opinion. I'm not even going to wink until this has a certain amount of time to shake out a little. Because I know it's Darvo.
You know, that's a perfect example. Because their word, usually Darvo sort of fixates on a given word.
Mm-hmm.
And the word in this case is genocide, right? Now, if anyone knows about genocide, there's only a couple of major groups in the last century that can make a claim to genocide. One are the Jews, who are clearly the victims thereof, or attempted genocide. And
Lao Baijing.
Yeah.
The Chinese
right.
people.
The Armenians. Under mm-hmm. the Turks in 1914, 15, back when you were a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, here I am.
Back in our favorite era, the yeah. progressive era.
A lot of bad things happened.
Especially
daylight savings time.
Yeah.
We went over that, though. We can't do another show. Can't do two shows on daylight savings time. But I'm driving down, we're in Kansas City here. I'm driving down Broadway. By the way, just a shout out to our fellow Jackson Countyans for... Stomping.
You were right, Jack.
Yep, I predicted a landslide, and I was right.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jack Cashel predicted that a very heavily funded campaign that had all the apparently the Angels on its side.
Right.
Oh, the Chiefs, the Royals.
Right.
And even had them had veiled threats.
Right.
If you don't do this,
right.
you're going to just wind up being Omaha.
Right.
See how you like that.
People said, Omaha's not too bad. We have 6 times the murder rate as Omaha does. Maybe we need to be Omaha.
And Jack said, you know, I got a gut feeling about this. And his wife made a little homemade set of Burma Shave signs in the yard that said vote no.
Yeah.
And darn if they didn't vote no, Jack.
By an overwhelming majority, 58-42. And, by the way, just one quick kicker on that. I'm in my house the other day, and this young couple I had never met, who live on my block, came by. And just really sweet. This just came out of nowhere. And they gave me, we have a little card, and it says, thanks to our local heroes. And it was a little gift card, right? And I saw that thing. What's this for? She goes, well, we liked your signs, right?
Wow.
Because there were no signs. There was no sign that was just all grassroots, all, you know, seat of the pants kind of resistance. In a sense, they were trying to impose on us, the opposition, Oh, it was like a mass formation psychosis.
Mm-hmm.
You must vote yes. They had all yard signs. They had all the ads. They had all the players. Everyone said, vote yes, vote yes, vote yes. And there is some hope. And that was a very hopeful sign that people can resist.
Yeah. Well, you brought up the yard sign thing, or I did.
Yeah.
There's a Darvo yard sign. It's called Black Lives Matter.
Yeah. Gosh. Yeah.
That is pure essential Darvo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Deny, accuse. There it is.
Let me finish my one thought, that you raised, because I started talking about driving down Broadway and seeing all these little white flags, right?
Oh, really?
Pieced together next to each other, you know? And then it had one word, and this is the word, the total flip word, genocide.
Oh.
And this was obviously a reference to, it was obviously a Palestinian, pro-Palestinian sign. They've taken that word genocide, which has a very specific meaning, which is, you know, eliminating a whole race of people.
Right.
And flipped it. So they're being accused of genocide, which chants like from the river to the sea, meaning let's eliminate the state of Israel, presumably all the people in it, because they're not going to go down easily. And now we'll claim genocide, because after our incredible barbaric attack on Israel, in which we all but forced them to respond.
And again, we must assume that that was a legitimate attack. We are forced to assume that. And maybe it was, maybe it wasn't, because of Darvo.
Right.
I mean, you got to go with what you think.
Yeah.
And it all appears that that is the case.
Well,
and you just got, at some point, you got to say, I'm going to believe that and go forward.
It goes back to what Orwell said in 1984, the party's final essential command, reject the evidence of your eyes and ears.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, the Darvo people ask you to do that.
Right.
Reject the evidence of your eyes and ears. Reject the videos of women being raped, children being tortured, killed. You know,
and what about the babies getting their heads chopped off or whatever that was? That was a flack.
There was actually some overhype initially.
Well, that's what leads you to go, okay, I've got, who am I to know?
Right.
If I hear this much flack,
I'll presume it is all flack.
I can't presume it is not.
Yeah.
That's why I preface my comments with, I don't really want to get down the rabbit hole because I haven't figured the damn thing out.
Well, I would say that there are certain things that are, you could say, are
irrefutable.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any of that yet.
It goes back to the logical positivist joke, right? There's two logical positivists on a train, and the train is going through the countryside. And the one says to the other, you know, there's few things in this life that we can be sure of. And the one says, well, give me an example. He said, we could be sure that there are sheep grazing on the side of the hill that have been sheared. And the other guy says, no, we can't assume that. All we can assume is that there are sheep grazing on the side of the hill that have been sheared on the side we can see, right? And that's where we are. But, you know, when you're into pure Darvo mode, they will be telling you that, no, there haven't been sheared at all, that you're having some sort of illusion here that they could be fully covered in wool or whatever they're
doing. Right.
Now, it's some things I think are just jump out and say yes. So, I mean, you go back to the Holocaust. Were 6 million Jews killed? I can't verify that. Can I verify that millions of Jews were killed? Yes, I can. That's knowable.
Mm-hmm.
That's legitimate. And to claim that the genocide is by the people who we know are, you know, we know that the Palestinians are dying and the military reprisal, but we also know that the Israelis are being more careful than any army in the history of the world in trying to avoid that. So to use the phrase genocide then becomes simply a mind game. It's an appropriation. It's a pure Darvo Darvo Tack.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not an accident that they did that.
No.
You see that play out all the time.
Yeah, yeah. But in this
reverse
case.
Reverse the victim and oppressor. Right.
And sometimes, though, it's so blatant, it undermines the propaganda value of what they're trying to do. Except it seems to work, right?
Yeah, and I agree with you. When I first saw them using the term genocide, that was exactly my thought is, oh, here's the old jujitsu.
Right.
They're throwing out that loaded word.
Right.
You know, they really do use that vocabulary.
And they do. And it's, you know, I object to it when they use it for American Indians. Genocide. And they use it all the time now, right? Well, there's more Indians alive now than there were, you know, 150 years ago. And when you read the history, say, of the Comanches, there's a group of people that believe the genocide, you know?
And in conservative, whatever you want to call that, and non-eugenicists don't believe in genocide. Eugenicists are the genocidal maniacs.
They can be, right?
I think it's really what their essence is.
It's that G-E-N root word there that's up for grabs.
You hear, you know, the elite global liberal or collectivist Marxist, whatever they are, they're eugenicists, and their fantasy is to wipe out entire populations.
Yeah.
They talk about it.
Yeah. What was that called? That NSM? Do you know about that? This was involved David Rockefeller, Henry Kissinger, and all those guys in the 70s. They had a plan in place to reduce the world's population.
Like the Georgia Guidestones articulated.
Yeah. Or Margaret Sanger, who's the founder of Planned Parenthood, who was an open eugenicist at that time. That was a progressive thing. I mean, we've talked about this before.
Even that rock rib conservative down the middle, Walter Cronkite, was a eugenicist.
Right. But in Sanger's case, she didn't want to. Actually, she was not the racist people make her out to be. She just wanted all morons to be killed or to be exterminated or not to. No, she wouldn't go that far. She just didn't want them to be able to reproduce. So it was a slow kind of evolution of so that the.
It's like putting fluoride in the water or something.
Right. And here's the irony. The Nazi idea of the superior race, of eugenics.
Yeah.
Was for the fit women, that is, you know, German women, to outbreed the unfit.
Mm.
And they would do that by having more babies and training their babies to be good Germans. The eugenicists on the Western side, the Americans and British, their idea was their women did not want to be bothered by breeding. So their idea was to control the breeding of the unfit. And Margaret Sanger, working off the World War I IQ test for inductees, a reason that 47% of the American population were officially, in her non-euphemistic term, morons. That was the phrase. They were morons, and they should not be allowed to breed. And then in 1927, Oliver Wendell Holmes, another big liberal icon, writes the affirming opinion in Buck versus Bell, which allows the state of Virginia to sterilize the moron part of the population. And now the person in question, the woman in question, was white. I mean, so it wasn't racist per se. It was sort of anti-moron, you know.
Hmm.
They were moronophobes. So.
I'll bet you they wanted everybody to vote, though.
Until then. Until they can't, even without their children, sure. Hey,
even you morons can vote.
Right. Yeah. We don't need to see ID, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And even, we'll get your ID. We know you're too stupid to figure out how to get a picture ID. No, it's a strange world. And yet, there's some other movements, too, though, that are rich in projection. I mean, our media today is just.
I think all of them.
Yeah.
If you scratch the surface. You know, where else have they, well, like I talked about, global warming.
Yeah.
they like to deny certain science.
Right.
And they accuse everybody
of being,
while they're in their private jet, they're accusing everybody of not recycling or some crap like that that makes no difference to anybody. And, you know, they the whole deal, I've talked about this before, is the criminal element, the left, their role is to convince everyone that all things zero sum are zero base, infinite sum, and that all things infinite sum are zero sum. So all things that are infinitely freely expandable and available are to be vilified and stop it and controlled and limited. All things that are limited.
By the way, give me an example before you proceed.
Okay. Everything. Give me a topic and I'll explain how it is that way. Anything that the left advances.
No, I mean, in terms of your first premise here, of trying to contain things that should be infinitely available.
Oil.
Yeah. Freedom. Right?
Oil is a great example.
Yeah, right, sure.
Look at what they're doing to convince us that oil, or that the landfills are just, oh, you gotta sort things out. You gotta put them in. You gotta dance like a monkey. You gotta do this. It's like if you looked at any kind of a graphic representation of how much of planet Earth is a landfill,
right?
It would be a piece of sand on a beach.
Right.
A population bomb.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
All of this stuff.
Yeah.
What's unlimited, what's free, and all these things, they want to control and manage.
Right.
And they want to punish you.
Yeah.
You know, oh, gee, eggs are 50 cents a dozen.
Beef.
Well, that's not going to fly. What are we going to do? Start rumors about eggs. Say they're rare, they're limited. Start burning chicken farms. Start killing chickens. Come up with the next chicken flu. I don't care what. But every single thing that is representative of, you know, the individual automobile, the gasoline-powered automobile.
Right.
All these things, their role in their mind is to control that asset, manage that asset, shame, steal, tax, heavily tax all things that are free.
Right.
Now, if you've got something that truly is an infinite or a finite sum,
right,
now it's your duty as the demigod to divide it up and control that process.
Right.
So if something is truly limited, the next thing you know, the capacity of the United States to support a citizenry with our current law enforcement capabilities.
Sure.
It's limited.
Yeah.
It's limited by other elements, our economy, tax base, being able to recruit people and train people. No, it's unlimited because we open the gates and we say defund the police and we're letting everybody out of prison. That's their job.
Right.
To do the opposite.
They've done it very well.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter what it is. If you look at anything that makes you scratch your head that the left does,
yeah,
this is at the heart of it. They are lying to you, and they're getting all the usual suspects to engage in Darvo. The media will all chime in with Darvo.
Right. And give me that acronym one more time.
Deny,
accuse, right,
and reverse the victim and oppressor.
Right.
So all of a sudden, the globalists who are doing all this, you know, horrible crap to the planet, for example, are the ones who are saying, shame on you.
Right.
Shame on you for not, you know, reusing your plastic cup or whatever it is. Shame on you.
Your straw.
Yeah, your straw's wrong. Your straw's wrong. You didn't eat off of both sides of your paper plate
right.
before you threw it in the trash. But those are the people who are going, you know, it's wrong that humanity has taken a straw and, speaking of straws, and drilled it into the ground and sucked out all this black free ooze.
Right, which just happens
to... And converted it into these wonderful, unbelievable things.
Right.
Darvo, you got to deny that that's wonderful.
Right.
That that is the basis of our... so much of the improved lifestyle.
Sure.
And they want to control comfort and convenience, and they want you to be afraid of the loss of comfort and convenience. That's their big weapon.
Yeah.
They've got people shaking in their boots that they're going to lose their comfort and their convenience. Well, gasoline brought all that. Petrol brought all that to us.
Right.
On a huge level. And all we did was go in there and stick a straw in the ground, and it came up.
Right.
And then we built some refineries.
Yeah.
Well, now what do we got? Now we've got them going, but that's all, you know, you guys are being bad, and the planet Earth is a victim here, and you're the oppressor. And my golly, we got to get 8 million little kids digging gigantic mines, strip mines all over the world, pulling out cobalt and magnesium and all this other crap. And then and we got to make sure that it's criminals who control everything.
Right.
Rare earth minerals.
Right.
Slave mining.
Right.
And then all kinds of pollution. And then put these giant windmills all over the beautiful landscape. These big, hulking, ugly things that don't work and that can't be recycled. Can't you? I don't know what you're going to shoot them off to Mars or something.
All of this to sustain the illusion that they were right.
That's to sustain the illusion that they were right. And what is that?
And at no point did they say to themselves, gosh, we really screwed up here.
Yeah.
What were we thinking when we went and got rid of automobiles in favor of like these dysfunctional, you know, monstrosities that kill 9-year-olds in the Congo, you know? It's like...
And as we sit here, we know electric cars will never work.
Right.
At least not in our lifetime.
Beyond the golf course. Get back to work.
They're great on the golf course.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. We all know it. Nobody's admitting it. They
right.
certainly are keeping the Darvo. They're... How dare you come out against electric cars? Electric's clean. You saw the leaf on it, didn't you?
Right. Well, you know, in fact, that goes back to what we talked about in our last show, the NPR guy who goes public and what his about all of the lies, illusions that NPR listeners had been led to believe en masse for the last 20, 30 years. And what he found most troubling was the absolute failure of his station and the network executives to acknowledge they were ever wrong. And so when like Russia collusion doesn't play out, just move on to the next subject. MoveOn.org, right?
MoveOn.org.
A perfect title for an organization that was designed to deny. What did they do with
and
Bill
accuse,
Clinton?
Yeah.
Accuse. Oh, deny Bill Clinton. Accuse speakers of the House or whoever other Republicans were, you know, and then reverse engineer the victim. Mm-hmm. So they did it so well. The Democrats gained seats in 1998 in the election.
And Hillary picked up that ball. Oh, my gosh. She was great at
that. Right. And, you know, and so, but they cannot bring themselves to acknowledge when they've been wrong. And they're wrong epically, you know, catastrophically wrong, right?
Because they're part of Darvo.
That's right. It's all part of the strategy.
So they weren't wrong. They were caught.
Yet to be proved right. You know, right.
They weren't wrong. They were caught.
Right.
So they MoveOn.org.
Right. Right. Or project. And we're seeing it now. And a classic Darvo strategy, I would say, is the notion that Donald Trump, Republicans in general, are a threat to democracy.
Yeah. The giveaway is that term.
Democracy. Right.
Which we know we are not.
A democracy. As a noun, and we're not, the country is not a democracy.
There is an element of democracy
in the republic.
In our republic.
Right. They almost never use the word republic.
Well, I wonder why.
Yeah, right.
They'd be Republicans if they did that.
And they would have to acknowledge the Constitution and the validity of it.
Yeah.
But when you, let's face, it's amazing that they do this. But it's a classic, perfect example of what you're talking about, of Darvo. Okay, let's say you've locked up 1,300 some ordinary citizens for largely peaceful protests, which literally fit the definition of the largely peaceful. Their riots are largely
exactly.
peaceful protests. Our largely peaceful protest is not only a riot, but an insurrection.
Insurrection.
So they locked those people up. They have at least five different prosecutors going after the leading presidential candidate. And they shift that onus onto the presidential candidate when, if you remember, they had a collective fainting spell when Donald Trump just asked Ukraine to look into. Right?
Yes.
And they impeached him over that.
Yes.
And Trump was right, right? You know, and because under the premise, if you recall, he will be the leading presidential candidate. And you had these people look into, right? He didn't hire Fannie Willis or all these Bragg or all these other Jack Smith or these are outlaws that are running our system. And we're praising them for protecting our democracy. Right. It's amazing. A sleight of hand. Totally amazing sleight of hand.
And so I think this term came out of interpersonal relationships because people who, you know, make a huge mistake and marry the wrong person
right.
or they might have a sister or brother or their mother and they're trying to connect the dots and going, wow, this person's entirely unreasonable. In fact, has ill will toward her own family.
Yes.
Which is why I got to that point of I even scratch my head when my own eyes see things like the deal in the Middle East.
Right.
Where I'm like, okay, which Jews are you speaking?
Yeah.
There are too many moving parts for them to Darvo with for me to even get in that game.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I think the word there, co-opting, they're just spectacularly bizarre co-opting of the word genocide is just, I mean, to me is Darvo squared. I mean, it's just an amazingly, I mean, here, let me co-opt one Jewish word to describe that phenomenon. Chutzpah.
Chutzpah.
Right.
Well, and in divorce court, how many of the people that are being accused of all kinds of heinous things do you think it's the other person that was doing that?
I mean, look at the Johnny Depp trial, you know, for instance. And we see that all the time. I mean, you know, it's in personal relations. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, we probably all had examples in our own lives of that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not you and I, because we're above all that.
Right.
But
right.
Lesser mortals out there in video land. But or the use of the word liar is another one that I just am intrigued by all the time. On the left, Trump is a liar.
Mm-hmm.
They never substantiate that with lies he's told. And I'm hard-pressed to think of a consequential lie that Trump has told. I mean, he's a bullshitter. You know, he's a guy from Queens who's an embellisher, a braggadocio. Get it. I'll admit that. Blowhard. But when you say it's the biggest crowd that's ever been gathered and it's only the second biggest crowd and then you designate him a liar because of that, right?
But versus Joe.
Right. Who lies?
We've been following him. I mean, those who have any interest in politics were mocking and ridiculing him 30 years ago as being the stupidest guy in the Senate, right?
Yeah, right. When he first ran in 88 and was, you know, making up stories, borrowing stories from real people in other countries and telling them as though they were his own.
And officially getting busted and having to admit it.
Yeah, right.
In that case.
Humiliated. Back when the media actually told the truth every now and then. You know?
And then that tape of him bragging about his phony collegiate accomplishments.
Right.
And
a civil rights leader.
A truck driver.
Grew up in the Puerto Rican community, grew up in the Jewish community, grew up and now he's in the Greek community, right? Whatever community there is, he's...
The only thing I ever believed was the thing about the little black kids rubbing the white hairs on his leg.
That's such a wonderful story.
I mean, I share that story. It's the same with me. Yeah. They're fascinated by my leg hair.
To tell that story. Should have been disqualifying right away. Corn pop.
Corn pop. So you see Darvo at work all the time. Politics, it's all Darvo.
Yeah. And increasingly, though, I think on the positive side, is that it's what the internet has done is it's made it harder to get away with it. That doesn't slow them down. They exist as though there were no internet.
But now the internet giveth and the internet taketh away. Because well, here comes AI.
To reverse engineer all of your lies. You know.
This is the Darvo machine.
Yeah, right.
Well, Jack, I just saw you.
AI. It's like the post office in your when your grandmother doesn't get her Christmas card. I'm sorry, Grandma. You know the post office, right? You know you never sent it.
Right.
But and she'd say, oh, of course, we know the post office, right? So now it'll be AI will be the get out of jail escape card for people who've been caught in compromising situations. So when you're caught on the monkey business with as Gary Hart was, you know, and
he as I said about Gary Hart, he should have kept his pants on.
That was one of the best ad-libs I've ever heard. Tell me it was an ad-lib.
It was an ad-lib.
That was brilliant. It really was. I had to stop and applaud you when you said that.
Thank you.
I think I was the only one who got that, but it was a great ad-lib, you know?
Yeah, the monkey bit. What was the chick's name?
Her name was Donna Hart.
Donna Hart, good job, yeah. Man! You got a steel trap mind.
Yeah, for bimbos, I have a.
What was the? My dad squired around one of the famous bimbos. It was when she was here. For
Donna Rice. I'm sorry, take that back.
Donna Rice.
I'm confusing him. He was Gary Hart. Donna
Gary
Rice
Hart.
Is.
The 76 convention was in Kansas City, where we are.
Yeah.
For the Republican Party.
Right.
Wilbur Mills.
Fannie Fox.
Yeah, and then there was another old guy who had a...
Wilbur Mills was the guy who was cavorting in the tidal basin with Fannie Fox, stripper or whatever.
There was one other guy who had a girlfriend, and she blew the whistle on the deal. My dad, his job was to do the press.
Oh, I see. Right.
You know, he'd pick her up at the airport, take her around to the press conference.
Right. There's been a lot of them out there. Jennifer with a G, right? My daughters for one Father's Day got me Jennifer with a G flowers memoir. You know, just the thoughtful children they were. You know, they
might want to get that lip looked at.
That was Juanita Broderick.
Yeah,
who's I don't know if you follow her on Twitter, but she's a warrior.
Yeah, she is.
She's great. She's funny. She's got a gazillion followers and deserves them. Put some ice on that one.
Yeah.
It's like one of those phrases, catchphrases on the right that, like if I said to one of my liberal friends who like had some problem, I'd say, put some ice on that. Boom, over there.
They'd never make that connection.
never make it. Well, we all know.
Because they've been Darvo'd.
Yeah. No, and their whole, and as we talked about it last week about the response to the NPR piece, they've been so deeply transform that they cannot see their way out of it. I mean, they are so deeply propagandized and it's
debased.
Yeah.
They're debased. They have no base to which they can go and gain any kind of objectivity.
There's no solid ground.
It's gone.
Yeah. They used to have it. There used to be a series of things that liberals believed in,
yeah,
and they made movies celebrating those beliefs. So when I see, for instance, 12 Angry Men, the movie, you know, very popular movie at the time, gets a lot of stars, Henry Fonda, the good liberal on the jury, fighting for the rule of law.
Mm-hmm. The rule of law, yeah.
And the fellow in question, the accused in question, as Henry Fonda says, we don't even know that he's innocent. We just know that there's not ample evidence to convict.
And the whole thing about I'll fight for your right to say it, you know, I may disagree with.
Right.
That used to be kind of a liberal.
Right. And today, you know, I was in Washington last week. I went to a trial for these people who were arrested for their behavior on a certain date.
Oh, yeah. I heard about
this. I can't mention that because...
Anerosace.
Yeah, right. A 72-year-old great-grandma is on trial for disorderly conduct. The praying great-grandma.
The praying great-grandma.
And I'm, you know, looking at the jury. Debased is the right word. You know, if I had to look at them, I wouldn't trust these people to, you know, to adjudicate. These are kind of people who 30 years ago, we were shocked when they acquitted O.J. Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we'd be shocked if they didn't, mm-hmm. you know?
Absolutely.
And the late O.J. Simpson.
Late as of today.
Late as of a week ago today.
A week ago.
They looked bored. They looked disheveled. Just, you know, in terms of demographics, there were 8 white people, 6 black people. I mean,
did they look stinky?
I don't know about stinky, but they look like we were expecting a Proud Boy or an Oath Keeper. We were expecting some fiery radical, window breaker, and we get a great grandma. You know, who's not only that, the great grandma in question, who I've gotten to know, was a finalist in the Miss Iowa contest 60 years ago, 50 years ago, and won the Miss Congeniality contest, right? So she represents that. That is who she is to this day. And they're looking at
those old white people.
Well,
got to go.
We got to send her to prison anyhow, because that's our job. We're here, you know. I mean, you know, they were hoping they could have, own a dinner table until Armageddon if they had gotten the right suspect in there, the right perp, but. Now, you know, who knows? So that no dining out on a great grandma. That's a tough one, but they'll send to prison in any case. So
how about the you talk about Darvo and you talk about that certain date.
Yeah.
How about that certain governmental agency, the one that you still have some faith in, the one that I say has to be zeroed out.
The one that's that I would Efren talk about
Zimbalist
except
Jr. was involved in.
Right, that one. The IFB, mm-hmm. or the IBF, actually.
The IBF?
Yeah.
I mean, this is pretty interesting the way they kind of denied that there was any involvement, and then the other guys would go, well, you know, of course there's always at least 20 of those guys on the ground. They're accusing this grandma, right?
Right, right. Great-grandma.
Great-grandma. She's a Darvo victim.
Yeah, totally.
And all the media is, they put up the wall. There can't be any. And then people like you, people like my friend Nick.
By the way, the movie he made is really stunning.
It is.
It's moving.
It is.
Now it's just a question of getting people to see it.
Jack and I got a preview, a screening.
It's called The War on Truth.
Uh-huh.
Which is exactly what we're talking about here. Where everything is reverse projected.
Yep.
Everything. Where you've been a total mass formation psychosis.
Mm-hmm.
That at least half of America is still right now under the spell of. At least half of America. That number dwindles every day. But it's got to dwindle very quickly before we get to November.
So look for this film. It'll be coming out soon.
And it is called The War on
Truth. The producer is Nick Searcy.
Right.
And it's called The War on Truth.
Yeah,
and it's good. It's very good. I mean, again, it's one of those films where you think, God, if only people would see this damn thing.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, 95% of the people who see it already get it.
Right. There is a 5% that you're shooting for. And that 5% is the 5% who were the respectable GOP types who wanted nothing to do with those people, right? Mm-hmm. Who there were those people, right? You people, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm writing a book on that same subject, and I've
got what I heard
to talk to. I'm focusing on the women, and they're interesting because they unlike the elves that I've talked about before, the educated liberal females,
mm-hmm.
they think for themselves.
Yeah,
and boy, they make some very difficult decisions. And in some cases, the decision is, no, I'm not going to confess to a crime I didn't commit. I'll take the trial. I'll take what you're going to hand out, you know. And
because they have a they know what's worth preserving.
That's
and
right.
What's worth dying for.
What's worth fighting for. There are hills worth fighting for. And it's such an act of total Darvo to take the best people in America and to present them as the worst. And half of America still believes that. I mean, they're convinced of that. Mm-hmm. They have no idea.
No idea.
How deeply they've been mesmerized by this this false imagery over here that's just hand-picked. The Germans in 1930s have nothing on these people.
Nothing.
Because at least in 1930 Germany, you had an excuse for not protesting. You were going to get killed, right? You would be taken out like Bonhoeffer, or hanged, killed, shot. Your family might be taken away for protesting against the mass formation psychosis you were subjected to. In the United States today, you have no excuse. And at some point, I think we'll look back at that particular day as our St. Crispin's Day, the day that, like in Henry V's famous speech at Agincourt, you know, or at least the one that Shakespeare imagined him making, you know, you'll be lying in bed regretting that you were not there that day, you know. But that's an optimistic take on the future when Darvo is consigned to the dustbin of history. And I'm being optimistic here. I'm being projecting forward. But
yeah, Darvo may be around. But it doesn't mean it has to rule the roost like it is now.
No, it doesn't. And thank you for introducing that word. And thanks, too, for our host here at Real Media.
Yes. Thank you, Real Media. This is great.
Yeah. And
and we love our new studio, too.
Oh, great studio. And we even look good here, sort of.
We look really handsome.
At least as good as we could possibly look under the circumstances.
Yeah.
But we'll be back next week with some future illuminating subjects, presuming that YouTube allows us to come back.
Not brought to you by Pfizer.
We danced around the subject, Mr. NSA, right? We did, without mentioning the specifics. So
that's right.
We have our ways of circumventing the censors.
Starring Efren Zimbalist Jr.
By the way, just quick note. I told you I was a phone friend of Efren Zimbalist Jr. And we talked about intelligent design was subject. And by the way, I was at breakfast a week or two ago with a group of people you know. And I just brought that up. And someone said, "You don't think Darwin was right?" I said, "Ooh, you got to. There's a long way to go in your education, bro. You know, that was the first major Darvo, right? That was the big one.
Yeah.
And we're still under that spell. So, but we'll be back in future episodes to dispel that here on
Upstream with Cashel and Edge. Good night."